We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock. We got a shorty but a goodie planned for you for tonight. We took the show out on the road, so we are at Players Pub in Prospect Heights. This place is amazing. The food here is great. If you don't believe me, check my Twitter feed, at Lawrence W. Holmes. I am here with the man. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. I haven't had a chance to do a show with Olin since I think last year, but Olin Kreutz is in the house here with me, and we are going to talk a lot of football. And I even got a little bit of a surprise before we get out of here at 10 o'clock. I got someone calling in. I hope that it'll be fun. I imagine that it will. We are giving away Bears tickets. So if you're here at the bar, yeah, you should actually sign up because we're going to give you an opportunity to get tickets. And we're giving away Bears swag. There's all sorts of caps and hats. So if you've got time, if you're in the area, you should come on down because the only way that you can win is by being here. We're not giving these away over on the radio. We're giving them away in person. So Bears tickets for this weekend against the Eagles. So we got a lot to discuss. First of all, Olin, thanks so much for joining me. I know this was kind of like a quick turnaround. I appreciate you coming down here and hanging out.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad to be here. This is a great bar. The food, the steak. I said I was going to eat it. I couldn't stop eating it. I didn't even know this place was here. What a great spot, and thanks for having me.
I want to talk with you about a whole bunch of stuff, but I know that we got to try and pack everything into an hour. First off, let me ask you, when did you kind of feel like maybe this Bears team had a chance to be special?
Yeah, that's a good question because I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch a lot of Mac before they traded for him. And then when they traded for him and added him to Akiem Hicks and I turned the film on, and you're looking for, right, Lawrence, you're looking for a problem with this guy because why would they trade a guy in his prime who was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, okay? So I'm looking, I'm saying, okay, you respect John Gruden. I respect him as a football guy. So I'm looking for holes in this man's game. And I'll be honest with you, I expected to turn the film on and see a guy who only loved rushing the passer. Because there's a reason for getting rid of him, right? But I didn't see that. And what I saw was a guy who not only played the run, who supported his teammates when they made plays, who did the dirty work so other guys could make plays, and understood not only his job, but where he fit in schematically. And I thought to myself, if they add this guy to this defense and you give Fangio a chess piece, right? You give Fangio two queens on a chessboard, you're in trouble. And he's got a few pieces now, and you see what he's done with them. He has turned this defense, the talent, along with the coaching. Like, for example, Lawrence, you see McManus and Deion Bush come in. They may get beat physically. You ever see him in a bad position?
No.
You ever see him out of position, out of place?
Nope.
That's coaching, right? So you're going to have to, if you're going to beat these guys, you have to beat them. Like, you know what gets you beat every Sunday? Mental mistakes. Not doing what the hell you're supposed to be doing. These guys don't do that. So at that moment, I saw Mac was that kind of player. That's when I thought, man, if Nagy is who he says he is, and this offense gets going about midseason, this team could be pretty damn good.
I was having a conversation with Lance, who ordinarily does a Miller Lite Top Draft Show with me. He brought up something about the back four that wanted to run by you. The idea of those guys can break on the ball because they know it's got to come out. That the clock in your head is saying, well, my guys are at the quarterback now. He can't double move me. I can go get the ball. And Eddie Jackson, you know, in his first 2 years here, has 5 touchdowns off of that, and Kyle Fuller with 7 interceptions. Yeah, the Bears record is 9. Charles Tillman has the Bears record at 9. Eddie hasn't played 2 full years yet, and he's got 5.
Right, and look, San Francisco game, right? Goodwin, because Pettis gets hurt, Goodwin runs a route. Prince falls down. This is either a touchdown or a 50 or 60-yard play. Guess who's at the quarterback's feet so he can't throw the ball? Mac. He saves them. more times than you can imagine. And like you just said, how many of the picks now, Jackson, he's very good. He's where he's supposed to be. And you have to make those plays, right? How many times has the ball just floated to him? Because the quarterback's under so much pressure. You can't block Hicks and Mack on the same side. It's nearly impossible. And when you do add a blocker there, Coach Fangio blitzes the linebacker, either Roquan Smith or Trevathan, and he forces you. He reads your protections. And by the time we're in the middle of the second quarter, he's forcing those guys to go one-on-one with his guys. And one-on-one against Hicks and Mack, you're going to lose.
I'd love to know what you think about Roquan Smith. And what's really interesting to me about Roquan is, had there been no Mack trade, the two stories going into the season would have been Mitchell Trubisky and Roquan Smith. Roquan comes into this thing so much under the radar. And I feel like from the moment he stepped on the field, you saw what they saw in the draft process.
The Green Bay game, right? When he came on the field and was flying around like a missile, like you could tell he didn't know where he was supposed to line up, really. He didn't know what his fits were. They put him on the field and he just chased the ball, and his speed that he added next to Trevathan to complement what they're doing, and the physicality he plays with, and the way he finds the ball, and the way, look, here's a guy nobody talks about, right? Eddie Goldman. Me and you, we can't run, but we might make a few tackles between Hicks and Eddie Goldman. And now, Bilal Nichols, there's another rookie they found, okay? So you put a guy of Roquan Smith's talent behind those three guys, and your normal partner can tell you better than me. That's a dream come true, right? Because those guys can't get to you. And now the coach, I'll tell you what the offensive line coaches say. Akeem Hicks lines up on the guard's outside shoulder, and he says, we need to double team this guy. Do not leave your tackle alone when he has to come down and cut him off. Well, Roquan Smith hits the A-gap. Guess who's supposed to block him? The guard has been told all week to double team Akeem Hicks. Guess who's flying free through the A-gap? Roquan Smith, right? So he's had a great year, and I think he's going to be a very good football player. But those guys are great players that are better than the sum of their parts. And that's scary for how many good players they have.
You really like Vic. We were talking about it. Olin and I actually did some work over at NBC Sports Chicago today. We were all suited and booted. We were dressed up, looking real nice and all that good stuff. But you really like Vic Fangio. What is it about him that you like?
I like that he puts his guys in the best position to succeed. And by that I mean he's not married to one front. You may see, I think it was a San Francisco week. They played 3-4. They played 4-3. They played 4-2 nickel. They played 3-3 dime. He finds how to use his guys, and he makes them do what they're really good at. For example, Floyd. He doesn't keep forcing Floyd to rush off the edge. He's not great at that. He's not great at lining up in a wide nine and just beating the tackle like, I don't know if hopefully people watch it, but the video we were watching today, what Mack was doing. Mack, you line Mack outside short of the tackle, and he's going to find a way to beat that guy every time. Floyd, if you do that, maybe once or twice a game, he'll win. Fangio will walk him around in what they call a joker technique, and he'll stand up as a linebacker and walk around, which is, as Pat Manley pointed out to me one day, a lot of what he did at Georgia. He played off the ball a lot, right? So when I say they go to that 4-3 defense, Mack's in a three-point stance. Guess who's playing linebacker behind him? Floyd. And a lot of his run stops have come out of that defense. So Fangio finds what you do well and asks you to do that. When Callahan first got hurt, he knew that McManus wasn't really comfortable in coverage as of yet. And I know you watched the game, so I know you saw this. Who blitzed a lot? McManus. When McManus comes in, he blitzes off the edge, right? I'm going to ask you to do what you do well. I'm not going to force you to do something. I'm not going to say, we need you to do this. You have to do this. This is what you do. Do it well.
Are those the best types of coaches to have, the ones that are not trying to fit the square peg into the round hole?
Yeah, because, look, it's the same for every job, right? We do radio. I don't want Mitch Rosen to call me and say, Olin, can you do a little booze coverage for me? No, actually, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, don't force me to cover the Bulls or the Cubs. I'm not going to be good at it.
You had some thoughts on the Bulls, though.
I do. We
could have done a good 15-minute segment on the coach today.
Well, I think I know a lot, but I really don't. So, but he, you know, you when whoever you work for, whoever the boss is, you want them to ask. You want them to feature what you're good at. No different when you play football. When I played center, let me use my quickness. Let me use my athleticism and beat these guys. Don't ask me to take a 380-pound guy and walk him off the ball. It's not what I do well.
The voice you're hearing is Olin Krutz. He is one of our hosts of the post-game show on The Score. We are honored to have him here for our Miller Lite Top Draft Show. And we are at Players Pub here in Prospect Heights. I got Olin until 10, so I'm asking him all sorts of questions. If you want to jump in, I think we got a little bit of time to take some calls. 312-644-6767. If you don't want to call, I have a lot of questions that I want to run by Olin. So you can just participate in the show by listening to the show and getting some of this grade A football analysis from one of the greats. On the offensive side, last week against the Vikings, we saw the Bears, I would say, commit to the run. Why hadn't they done that before? And what was it that they saw that the Vikings weren't doing that they felt like they could exploit?
But there's so much that goes into that question, right? So the reason why we hadn't seen it before, to be fair to Coach Nagy, is it was all the Bears were not – they didn't have early success in a run game. And they were taking too many, like, minus two, minus three. And the worst thing you can do to a young quarterback is put him in second and 13, right, second and 12. So last week – They get success really early, right? They get a big run on the second play of the game. They run power for 4, 5, 6 yards, which, you know, as an old Chicago Bear, power is a play that the Bears have been running for years. So to see a backup tackle line up at fullback and run power was awesome to watch. But so much goes into a run game. And what people have to remember is none of these coaches have worked together before, right? Coach Nagy has never worked with Heffrick. Coach Nagy has never worked with Ragon. All these guys have never worked with Coach Heistand, right? They haven't worked with the wide receiver coach. They haven't worked with the tight end coach. These guys are all formulating what they actually are on offense. And early in the year, if you watch, because of all the motions and movements they want to do, what you have to understand is that offense, a center, or whoever on the offensive line is making the points, they direct the run game where we're all going. So I'm going to point at this linebacker. That puts me on who I got. That puts everybody else on who they got. Now, listen, if I send Miller in motion, that can all change, right? And then the snap is coming. So you almost have to start going to spots. Like, if I point to this spot, guys, that's where we're going. There was a lot of mistakes on that early in the year. A lot of guys going to the wrong linebacker. A lot of guys running free. I remember specifically, do you remember Harrison Smith making a play in the first game in the backfield?
Yes.
On that run play? Okay. It was a blitz. They went in motion. Harrison Smith doesn't move. Nobody accounts for him, and he comes flying through. So what you don't know is, are they running RPO? Is Mitch supposed to read that and throw it? Are they running a zone read? Is he supposed to keep it? Who's accountable for the guy? And another thing you have to consider on the run game is this. You bring in Trey Burton. You got Tariq Cohen on the field. You got Taylor Gabriel on the field. You got Allen Robinson on the field. You got Miller on the field. Well, who the hell are the run blockers? Only the five linemen. So you got five blockers on the field. That's it. So if six guys come or they load the box with six, you're in trouble. So you got to find a way to make them respect pop passes, RPOs. And what you saw last week was, like we talked about earlier today, a lot of work coming together. And everybody finally saying, okay, here's where we are, and including Coach Nagy saying, okay, maybe I'll put Shaheen and Bradley Sowell at fullback if I really want to run the ball. I better get some big bodies out there who actually going to block people.
I'm glad that you brought up the RPO aspect of it. Hub, who you work with on the post game, talked about this with Nagy, and I thought it was one of the more interesting media points that I had heard, like actual digging for answers for questions in a press conference with Matt Nagy, is the idea that, yes, it looks like they're not calling a lot of run plays, but what we're seeing is the difference between what he term breather runs, where it's a breather for the quarterback, he calls a straight run play, call it, you know, 24 lead or whatever, and RPOs, where maybe initially they thought it was a run look, but Mitch surveyed and said, no, we're going to change it up, and it's a pass play here. How difficult is that for the offensive line to navigate and for the quarterback to navigate when you have that many working parts between a run play being on and a pass play being on?
Okay, so an RPO for the offensive line, right? Nothing changes. You're going to block the run play. The ball's got to be out before I'm 3 yards down the field. So I don't know if Mitch has thrown it. The only way I would know is just by the look. You know, I look up. If I got six blockers, I get seven guys in what we call the box, right, tackle to tackle, the ball's got to come out. So I know just by the look that the ball, he may be throwing the ball. But other than that, I'm just blocking the run. I think the guy, and I'm just guessing, I don't want to speak for a running back, but I think the guy who affected the most was Jordan Howard and the running backs, because it didn't look like he was taking the ball as smoothly and hitting the hole coming downhill hard. So a lot of that, you know, I always get worried when I see a running back's legs start to spread before he even hits the hole. You know, make one cut and hit it. Jordan Howard should be just making one cut. He was slowing down. He was chopping his feet. Didn't look like he knew if he had the ball. Sometimes Mitch, like you said, he was throwing the ball when he shouldn't have, and he was throwing the ball he should have. Because, listen, you got to give these other guys credit, too. They get paid, right? The other defense corner, the other defensive players. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to fool you. They want you to throw the RPO when they're showing you. They'll show you seven in the box. Right when you roll through your count, they're going to drop out. And then they only got six, and then it's covered, right? They're going to show you six. You're going to have the ball. They got seven coming at you. So these are things that the Bears offense, they had to learn. And Coach Nagy has said how many times this year that how long does it take to learn this offense? 3-4 years. He said it over and over again. And you can't get it unless you get the looks, right? And Mitch, I think he has the right people around him. Some games looks like he has a hard time reading it. But sometimes that's just the defense you're facing. The defense coordinator is good, and they're showing him looks that he should hand the ball off, but he's throwing it.
I felt like I was in the wilderness because I was the one guy around draft time that said, please don't move Cody Whitehair from center to guard, because I felt like he had Pro Bowl potential as a center. This is a position that you know better than most. James Daniels has played great when they have given him the opportunity to go in there and play. Am I right that Cody's perfect for center, or do you expect at some point James Daniels will move into that role?
It's a great question, okay? So here's what I will tell you. Cody Whitehair has Pro Bowl potential at center. He definitely does. He's played very well this year, integrated a lot of guys into that offensive line, right? Witzman comes in October 8th. He's got to teach him. He's got to work with him. He's got to make calls with him. A 20-year-old rookie lines up next to him, and Kush gets his neck injury. He's got to work with him. Kyle Long comes back in. He's got to work with Kyle. He's got to work with a young quarterback. He's got to work with a brand-new coach, two brand-new coaches, his head coach, offensive coordinator, and his O-line coach. The second answer to that question is this. Cody Whitehair could be a Pro Bowl center. James Daniels could be the best center in the NFL. That's how good this kid is. That's how good he is when he lines up. When I watch him play guard, what he does that translates to center, I don't know how long you keep that kid away from playing center. And remember now, Kirk Ferentz, who's a well-respected offensive line guy at Iowa, said that this kid might have been the smartest kid he's ever coached. So you know he gets the game. You know he understands the calls. He's got the talent to do it. You've seen the pass sets he took on Aaron Donald. You've seen him use his hands. You've seen him work to the second level. That kind of guy at center, that's a weapon. So if he ever moves to center, if they ever do move him to center, that is not a reflection on Cody Whitehair. That is a reflection on how good James Daniels could be one day.
All right, that is a great answer to the question, and I figured that I would get one. We need to take a break. Olin Krutz is here in the house with me. We at the Players Pub in Prospect Heights. It's a Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We're giving away Bears tickets. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, I got another way that you might be able to get your hands on Bears tickets this weekend. Our next guest is going to bring a couple to the table. I'll share it with you next here on The Score. That was Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio talking about the Eagles offense as the Bears get ready to take on the Eagles in the wild card weekend. The game's at 3:40 on the lakefront. I'm Lawrence Holmes hanging out with Olin Krutz. We are talking Bears here on the Miller Lite Top Draft Show here on The Score. And, Olin, I wanted to bring on a guest to join the show because we're giving away Bears tickets here at the bar, Players Pub. Mm-hmm. This guy's giving away Bears tickets on his website. You may know him because you guys were teammates. Mm-hmm. His name is Charles Tillman, and he now joins us here on The Score. What's up, Charles?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Peanut?
Oh, not much, Big O. What it do? Hey, man, I heard you was boxing today. I tried to come up there, man, but you keep your gym a secret. I don't know exactly
where it's at. We don't want to deal with the peanut punch. I don't think we can deal with that.
Well, what's it like for you, Olin, to see the effect that Charles, and I know Charles is going to blush, even though he's really dark, but the effect that Charles has had on the game, where every week you see somebody doing what he was doing with the peanut punch and getting the ball out.
Yeah, I think I tweeted about that the other day because I was watching the games, and every play I watch, somebody was making an attempt at punching the ball out, right? And Peanut's the guy who started that. And it just hit me all of a sudden how much this guy has affected the way the game of football is being played nowadays. And, you know, as my former teammate, a guy I was in a locker room with, I don't like complimenting him this much while he's on air, but he does deserve that. He does deserve that credit, right? And he does deserve the fact that because he was so good at it, because I don't think people thought that it was a move you could actually, you know, it was actually an effective technique before, you know, it was like once a game we were on the bench and I was screaming, balls out, you know, and you know, first his guy would catch it and you were like, you know, Peanut's got to cover better than that. But it was almost like a setup. Like, he let him catch it, and then there was a fumble immediately on the ground after. It was amazing. And because of that, the game of football has basically changed. And you have to give the credit where it's due. And Charles Tillman's the guy who started that.
All right, so Charles, now I'm going to let you be nice to Olin.
Don't do it.
You guys,
don't fall for it, man.
You guys saw your teammate go into the Hall of Fame. In the summertime, mm-hmm. You two are going to be on the ballot. So why does Olin Krutz belong in the Hall of Fame?
He means the Hawaii.
Why
Hall
does
Fame.
Olin Krutz? Oh, well, let me make sure I get all this right. No, I think Olin is a smaller guy who fought to keep 280, 290, and he played bigger than what he really was. And Olin's ability to first off, he did. I don't think we had the quarterbacks that could make all the calls. So Olin made every call. He basically was the quarterback of our offensive line. He picked up, caught all the blitzes, called them out. He was the mastermind of our offense. He helped everyone. He's a great leader. I don't know how many damn Pro Bowls he had, but he had a bunch of them because he lets you know every single day. And he's just a student of the game. You know, I didn't realize how smart and how much of an offensive savant he was. And so you start talking to him, and the best tip he ever told me was, he's like, oh man, if it's third and a yard or third and inches, oh, I get it every time. Here's what I do. I take the ball and then I already extended. All the quarterback has to do is just fall for it. So just a guy like that, man. He thought outside the box and a great teammate, phenomenal blocker, a wealth of knowledge. And yeah, man, Pro Bowls. And it's not just about Pro Bowls. I heard Olin say this. It's about them first-team All-Pros, and he's got a couple of them under his belt.
Well, that's not a bad thing at all. So, Charles, I think you made a really good case. And, Olin, I think you made a really good case for Charles. Charles, what are you doing as far as giving away tickets this week for the game? Because it looks like it's not just tickets. It's an experience.
Yeah. So, if you go to charlestillman.rallyup.com, I'm giving away two 100-level tickets, a night at the St. Jane Hotel, and an autographed Charles Tillman jersey. So, yeah, tickets are only $10, and it gets you all that for $10. Not a bad gig, you know what I'm saying?
No, not at all. So if you want to get into this raffle, charlestillmanrallyup.com, and then you can get yourself a wild card experience, two 100-level tickets, a stay at the St. Jane in Chicago. So, and on the money goes to the Cornerstone Foundation, which Charles has put together, and it is a fantastic foundation. We haven't had a chance to really talk like football in a while, Zero Dark 33. So I wanted to ask you about this team. When did the light kind of click on for you that you were watching a pretty good team?
I'd probably say when the rest of the defense started making plays and it wasn't just Khalil Mack. The first couple weeks we all saw what Khalil did and, you know, we expected that. He's getting paid, you know, X amount of millions of dollars. But then you started to see all the other players start to make plays and it wasn't just Khalil Mack. That was when I knew this was a good team.
Hey, Peanut, you are in a game against the Eagles. You got Alshon Jeffrey on you. They find you in a one-on-one matchup. You did a good job against bigger receivers who fought well for the ball. You're going down the field. You're one-on-one. What do you do to make sure that a guy like that, a big man who fights for the ball well, what do you make sure he doesn't win that matchup?
First off, you got to stop him at the line of scrimmage. I want to disrupt the timing between the receiver and the quarterback. So Kyle Fuller, he's your Pro Bowler. He's your number one corner. I'm matching Kyle Fuller up on Alshon Jeffrey all day, every day. And I think it's a good matchup because of what our defensive line is doing with Hakeem Hicks and Khalil Mack and Trevathan and those guys getting pressure up front. Whoever the quarterback is, they're going to have a difficult time throwing that ball and getting that time.
Yeah, but now Alshon, I mean, Kyle, he hasn't followed anybody all year, has he? Don't they play left and right?
They do play left and right. That's what I would do. Alshon is a great player, and one of his strengths is judging the ball when it's in the air. His hand-eye coordination, the timing of it, is kind of similar to Calvin Johnson-ish. You know what I'm saying? Not as good as Calvin Johnson, but Calvin Johnson-ish. So in order for us to stop Alshon from doing that, yeah, I would match up Kyle Fuller on Alshon all day.
So when you played Calvin Johnson and the ball, you knew the ball was in the air coming to him. What was the technique to not let him catch that ball?
Well, Calvin Johnson was a lot taller than me. He definitely could jump a lot higher. I think there was a play we in the end zone. I forget when it was. It might have been 2012. He actually caught the ball, and I ended up going through his hands. Like, I punched through his hands. More or less, I tried to grab his wrist. And I think that was really the key. Wasn't really trying to punch the ball out. It was just grabbing his hand or twisting his wrist away so he couldn't actually secure the football. It's a great technique. Works majority of the time if you know where to hit. And, yeah, I definitely think that's a tool or a technique that they can use this coming Sunday.
Charles Tillman joining us here. That's also Olin Krutz, who was doing the interview, which was pretty doggone good. Charles Tillman, rallyup.com. You can win tickets and an experience for the wild card game. Just go there and donate and put yourself into this raffle. I wanted to ask you both, Olin, I'll start with you. Why does Philadelphia's offense look different with Nick Foles?
You know, I think that, first of all, I don't know how Charles feels about this, and you and Lawrence, how you feel about this, but this offense versus this defense, matchup for matchup, as a football fan, it really interests me, okay? Because Lane Johnson, their right tackle, is one of the top right tackles in the league. He's going to go against Mack all day. Moore, their right guard, is a big, strong right guard, and he's kind of built for a Hicks. You know what I mean? Kelce is a athletic center for Trevathan and Roquan Smith. Peters on the other side, the left tackle, very 15th year, very impressive the way he plays left tackle in his 15th year, okay? Wisniewski's their weak link at left guard. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. It just means compared to everybody else. Okay, now you got Ertz. Now you got Sproles. Now you got Alshon Jeffrey. Now you got the speed receiver. His name is Aguilar. Now you got Aguilar. Now you got Golden Tate.
In the slot.
Okay, now lost Callahan. This matchup is very, very interesting to me. Now, if you talk about Nick Foles, what I see when I look at him is a guy who he looks like he's looking at the defense the same way Peterson looks at the defense. And by Peterson, I mean the head coach, offensive coordinator, for the Eagles, right? And sometimes that makes a quarterback that much better. It looks like when Peterson calls the play, Foles executes it right to the guy that Peterson was thinking about when he called the play. And it just seems like they're the perfect match together when you watch Foles execute Peterson's offense.
Charles, you agree with that? Why does Nick Foles make them look different?
I disagree with what Owen said. I think they got good sync, or excuse me, I think they have good chemistry. You know, they work well together, and it's been working thus far for them. Got them a Super Bowl. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, yeah, what Owen said. I told you, man, the dude's an offensive savant.
I got to look at it.
That's
twice.
Another
I
reason
look
he needs to go in the Hall of Fame. Offensive savant. Calling it now.
Charles, now I got to look up savant since you said it three times now. I don't know what that means.
You should. Olin, it's unbelievable. Like on Sundays, we have now gotten to the point where Matt and I just feed Lance words and we have him figure out a way to get it into a conversation, and Alex has no idea what the word means. And sometimes he'll just stop and be like, what does that word mean?
But you see those guys, like Charles is on the phone. You've dealt with Urlacher. You deal with Lance. You deal with Matt. You deal with Alex. You see why we were good. You put that many good guys who love football in a locker room, who have that kind of fun. And that's why we won games. And you see that now with this Bears team. It seems like they enjoy each other. They got great chemistry. And they not only enjoy executing a game plan, they enjoy winning because they're playing with. And you see that on this team. And that's kind of what we had with just a bunch of guys who are good guys but also good football players.
Charles, I saw you a few weeks ago.
Let me piggyback off that. I've been on two Super Bowl teams, two different teams, Carolina, Chicago, and the two times we had a great locker room, and it's exactly like Olin said. You got great guys who play for each other that love the game of football, and I mean that's a recipe for success right there, all day.
You were out at the game a few weeks ago, and I saw that you were signing anyone's Charles Tillman jersey. Like, you popped up in the stands, and you would sign their jersey, and people would be like, oh, my God, you're Charles Tillman. It seemed like for a while, under John Fox, that it wasn't fun. Like, Bears football wasn't fun. And Matt Nagy comes along, and all of a sudden, Bears football overall seems fun. Like, you guys seem like you're having
Bears
fun
breaking
it down.
Bears football hasn't been fun since 2013. What are you talking about, man? When they let Lovey go, that was when the Bears were – they died. They were done. It wasn't fun in 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's fun now. You're right. I think they got the right man for the job, and he's get a little CPR and revive this team in this town.
How do you think he did it? Like, well, what about it is fun for you watching from the outside?
I think the league is going toward younger coaches, younger head coaches, because they've seen success in L.A. with McVay, and a young guy who's got a lot of energy, spitfire, real hyper. I think Nagy's kind of maybe not as hyper as McVay, but he's a younger guy and he's got a lot of energy. And the players, they seem to respond to that. You got club. I don't know what they call their club, but they got the disco ball and they got the trap music going on after every win. That's fun. Guys like that. Guys want to play for that. And it's just something different, you know. And whatever stock he's selling, the whole team is bought into it.
You know what that is?
That's Jamrock all day long. That's Jamrock all day long.
It is Jamrock, but a point I want to make, I know the reputation John Fox has around here is you have to take a very good look at the draft picks for years, okay, and the talent that he had.
Facts.
And you have to look at all the guys that were on IR when he was here. Okay, so you have a rare team, as Charles can tell you. We had a rare team, win or lose, we didn't have a bad locker room. That's how rare our locker room was for years. Okay. Right. Now, sometimes there's ups and downs, and like Charles said, there's a bunch of good guys who love playing football, understand what's going on. I can't speak for the Bears locker room in the other years, but with all the injuries and with all the missed draft picks they had for years, now we can go back to 2008, all the way up to Ryan Pace after Floyd, and after Kevin White, and then we started hitting on guys, and you hit on draft picks, and you get a trade like Mac, and you get a guy like Allen Robinson, and Mac and Allen Robinson, I think, and I love to hear Charles' opinion on this. I think two professionals like that, guys who carry themselves like the way these two guys carry themselves and are that good at football, that'll change the culture of any building you walk into.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think we got a healthy roster and the group of guys that they have in there. I think Nagy did a good job of getting the kind of guys he wanted. And it helps, too, when you have your previous defensive coordinator remain. So that way you don't have to go out and get, it was a 3-4 defense. Now we can go to a 4-3, and you got to get those different kind of guys to run that style of defense. So,
You can say it.
I'm sorry.
You can say it. Say Mel Tucker. Go ahead. I said you can say it. Say Mel Tucker. Go ahead. You can say it.
No, I'm not going to say that.
All right.
Not going to stop you from saying
it. Man, we ain't calling nobody out. Didn't he get the head job at Colorado, by the way?
Yeah, he is now the head coach at Colorado.
There we go.
Which is
moving on up.
Yes, we are. CharlesTillmanRallyUp.com. If you want to register and try and donate to get tickets for Saturday's game, so do it quick. The donations go to CharlesTillman.org and the Cornerstone Foundation. It's really, really good stuff. Watch this, Olin. Charles, thanks for being on the show, man.
Y'all done with me? Y'all just going to do me like that?
Well, we have to go. I mean, I got Olin here. We got stuff that we need to talk about, you know.
It's not my show.
What y'all talking about?
Well, we were doing a little X and O type things. But, I mean, I know you're not interested in that. So we were just hanging out. That's what I was saying, you know.
Trauma.
I appreciate you coming on and everything, but
Are you kicking me off?
Well, in a matter of speaking, kind
you
of,
changed.
But
they never should have gave you no money, man.
I can see
changed.
That.
The money changed.
They never should have gave you no money.
Yeah.
That's not even, man, you're not even right, man. You're not even right. It's the couch. I get it. I understand. You're putting your feet up on my couch. It's all good.
His glasses are high class, too, now. I can see it from here, Charles. You can't see it.
They actually are a little bit upgraded.
A little upgraded. I can see it.
Never should have given you no money, man. You done changed. You done moved up to the east side.
This is what happens, Olin, where the interview's over. He knows it's over, and I know it's over.
I don't feel like it's over. I feel like he got a lot more to offer.
All right.
That's why I'm like baby Savant. Defense. Baby
defense.
Put
that on
Savant.
The shirt. You got Savant and baby Savant. All right, well, Charles, let me ask you this before I let you go. Again, looking at this defense and the way that they play, I asked Olin about this, and I talked with Lance about it a couple weeks ago. The idea that the ball has to come out because of the pass rush of the guys up front, how much does that help the guys in the back four?
Oh, man, tremendously. I know I don't have to cover that long. I mean, if I got Mac and hell, if I got Mac and Hicks and Goldman, if I got those guys, I know all I need to do is cover about 3 seconds because that ball is coming out. Or someone's hitting him in the face, or the ball's getting tipped, or someone's in his face doing something. They're creating havoc and ruckus up front. That makes my job 10 times easier. The D-line and the back seven or back four, it's a marriage. That stuff goes hand in hand. And the days or the times that they run blitzes and the offense, they'll do a max protect and they pick it up, well, it's our job in the back end to cover an extra 2 or 3 seconds so that they can get there. And the days that I make a mistake and I fall out, a fall coming out of my break, man, I'm loving it when Khalil or another defensive player get pressure on that quarterback, so I don't have to cover that long. They go hand in hand. It's a marriage. You can't have one without the other.
And you know, one thing that really plays into that, and I'll piggyback off of what Coach Nagy said, take it from an offensive lineman. The crowd noise should be deafening come Sunday.
Oh my
because
goodness.
If they got to use silent count and you got Mack and Hicks, and they imagine now you're Lane Johnson. It's hard enough to block Mack when you're looking at him. When a tackle has silent count, he has to look in at the ball. He doesn't even know what Mack's doing out there. So the noise should be loud from the moment they break the huddle until after the snap, because you are giving your team, when you have a pass rush like Floyd, like Mack, like Hicks, like Goldman, like Bilal, like when they send Roquan Smith, for an offensive line, when that kind of speed is on the field, when the crowd noise is deafening, it's next to impossible to block these guys.
Oh, yeah. And the defense feeds off that, too. I was telling someone the other day that fan, the fans, the fourth phase, the 12th man, whatever you want to call it, hey, it's real. The defense, we feed off of that. They feed off of that. I used to get so much energy, adrenaline pumping. You get geeked. You got the defense, and they third and whatever, and they come on, let's go Bears, and the crowd is just screaming. They just going bananas out there. Oh, man, you shouldn't be able to hear nothing. It should be deafening.
So what's the loudest that you guys have heard it? Which game do you remember it being as loud as you can remember at Soldier Field?
NFC Championship game, 06, against New Orleans. That was loud. Green Bay, we played our throwback jerseys, the orange, the one that Devin, I don't know what year that was, the one Devin returned a touchdown and he kind of just steps over the punter. That game was loud. Yeah, it's been some good ones.
Falcons game, not as loud.
Falcons
as
05 with, what you call it, Michael Vick, that was a cold one, that was a loud one. Hey, man, the cold games. Ones were the good ones.
Yeah, those are that Soldier Field. I mean, that's when you grew up watching football at Soldier Field on TV. Like when you watch the legends play, like when they show clips of Dick Butkus. If you were a football player your whole life, when you watch Walter Payton, those are the clips you see. And all of a sudden now you're in that movie, right? And the crowd is screaming, and there's no feeling like it to play at Soldier Field in a playoff game. And these guys are about to feel that. And I think they're going to represent this city well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
How do they it's not let the moment be too big for them? Like
say
when
what
you
now?
Were getting ready, Charles, how when you were playing a big game or a playoff game, how do you stay in your own routine and not let the moment get too big?
So I have a confession. We played that 2000 or the NFC Championship game, and I was out of my routine. By the second play, I got burnt for like a 40-50-yard play, and I was gassed. I was so tired. I was just wheezing and everything. I thought I had asthma. Fast forward to the Super Bowl a week later, I had to tell myself to calm down. I had to tell myself, don't get excited. This is just a regular game. Granted or not, it's the biggest game of my career. I literally had to, like, mentally tell myself, man, this is a normal Sunday noon game, and my wind, energy, stamina, I was great. So I think you have to tell yourself to kind of like throttle down, because I had an adrenaline dump for that first playoff game or that second playoff game we had in the NFC Championship, and I was drained.
Yeah, like Charles said, it's easy to say, right? It's easy to say what you need to do. We'll just say what you need to do. What you need to do is just concentrate on the little things. Concentrate on blocking the guy in front of you. Concentrate on just doing your job. Here's the problem. Everywhere you go in the city, no matter you go to Starbucks, you go to a restaurant, you go to the grocery store, people are talking to you about this game and how much it means to them and how big it is. And then half of your family has flown up. So you're trying to stay in your routine, but there's 30 people in your house who need tickets. They need parking passes. They stay at the hotel. They come to you. They're wishing you luck. They're all having drinks before the game. You're trying to rest. So you get down to the hotel. You're worried about all of them coming to the game. So the Bears just need to let someone else handle all of that for them. because handling family and friends is a big part of success. Now, handling everybody around you, let someone else handle all those guys, and just concentrate on the smallest detail of your game, whatever it is, whatever you need to improve on. For me, it was maybe just my first step on pass pro, my first step on a certain run block, and I just keep concentrating on that. That way, the game doesn't get too big. But like Charles is saying, there's going to be an adrenaline dump somewhere, because I don't know if they still do it, but when the Jets fly overhead and they're singing the Star Spangled Banner,
man.
And yeah, see, you see that? You see that? And all of a sudden, you feel like,
now.
Yeah, all of a sudden you feel like you don't know where it came from, but you're about to cry on the field, because that's a dream. This is what we all dream of. It's your dream coming true, and you have to try to control that. Get on the field and just, it sounds cliche, but do your job. Do your job.
Yeah,
don't worry about nothing else.
Do it.
See that? And I don't
blame. I didn't do none of that.
None of us, but
going into the Super Bowl, but the first, yeah, I didn't do none of that. Adrenaline dump, second play.
I wonder who they're going to get to sing the anthem. I haven't found out, because if it's Jim Cornelius,
they better get him.
Oh,
the place would be insane.
Yes, they got to get him.
They got to get him.
It would make no. Why would you get anybody else?
That's a good point. But that, I mean, it would definitely lead to what you're talking about.
Yes.
Because then it's a little bit different. You could just, you know, anthem singer X out there. Crowd's going to be reverent. Then they'll go crazy when the song is over. If they bring Cornelison out there, the crowd's going to be going from the moment they hear the start of the anthem. And they're going to be insanely loud.
Right.
And
I'm sure Philadelphia's
going to be
like, what are they yelling for? If the dude sing the national anthem, they're rude. What's going on? Yeah, they got to get him. They got to get him.
Yep.
Hey, Jim, if you listening, you singing the national anthem on Sunday, man. I don't care if the Blackhawks got a game. Well, hey, cancel that. You singing at Soldier Field. I'm putting
idea.
It out there right now, Jim. You singing at Soldier Field, bro.
Okay, well, that's not official, but I mean, it doesn't get close enough to official than when Charles says it.
It's Charles Tillman.
No. It's your show, Lawrence. It's Lawrence. Jim. Lawrence said you sing in the national anthem.
That's not true. See, this is what also happens, Olin, is that Charles often tries to get me fired. This
you got
is what
like
happens.
Eight jobs, man. You like a teacher, a cook, a podcast guy, a journalist, a baseball player. psychologist, husband. You do it all, bro.
I do have a lot of jobs now. It's
like a black card, Clark Kent.
That's a good call.
Minus
like
the body.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Why you gotta be black?
Because he is black, or like a great Clark Kent. He's like a light skinned version.
That is very much true. All right. So, okay. So this, according to Twitter, Jim Cornelison is singing the anthem.
Boom!
Per his Twitter.
I caught it.
So
Jim,
you were on top
of
that.
15% ball.
So Jim is going to.
Wait, hold on. How did you get your number at 15%, Charles? That's pretty high, man.
That's what most people do. That's what most marketing firms charge, 15%.
They got to bring
at
that
least that's
down.
What they that, charged yeah. me when I played.
That's too much, Charles. That's not the way that it works. So as we let you go, Charles, what do you think is the key to the game?
Takeaways all day long, man. If they continue to take the ball away and give their offense more opportunities to score, they will. I've said it since day one. If you're plus one, 70%, plus two, 80, plus three, 90. 90% chance you'll win the game. So if we have to win the takeaway margin and time of possession, and we will be successful.
CharlesTillmanRallyUp.com. If you want to win tickets, you go there, you donate. It's for the Cornerstone Foundation. It's really great, and it's an experience. You get a night at a hotel. You get the tickets. You get 100-level tickets. It is a phenomenal thing, and that is why we invite Charles onto the show, because he wants to always give back to Bears fans. So, Charles, thanks for being on the show tonight.
You really kicking me off this time? All right, I'll go.
Yeah, I mean, my show's actually over in like 5 minutes. So, yes, that's the deal.
All right. But, well, pay your bills.
What was my intro song?
I didn't get an intro song.
We don't have an intro song for you.
Y'all flipping, man. I normally have like an intro song or something like that. Your guy gives me like some great intros, some Tribe Called Quest or something.
Herbie, could you find something for Charles as we have him exit the show?
I need outro music.
Yeah, because that's what's going to work. There you
turn
go.
Turn my stuff up. I'm a freestyle one time. No, I mean, stop. Man, thank you so much for having me on your show. I love you. Big O, nice hollering at you, my guy. Future Hall of Famer, I'm just going to say it right now. I'm going to speak into existence. You're going to be there. I'm going to be in Canton rooting you on, boss.
Charles, you're the best. Thanks so much, man. Good luck with this, and another great job for the Cornerstone Foundation, sir.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Go Bears.
Bear down. You too, man.
Monsters
of
Midway.
Charles Tillman.
Believe in monsters. Winner go home, all hashtag. Everything I just said.
Bye, Charles. So, Olin, this is like a thing. Like, this is a thing every time he's on the show. One time, Charles was on the show for 45 minutes, okay?
He's a good guest, though.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's a favorite. Whenever he's on, people love it.
Yeah.
I tell him that there's another guest that's scheduled. So I got to let him go. Like, I had to take a break.
Yeah, but I mean, who could you have better than Charles?
Trust, you're right. But it was scheduled. You don't want to.
Right, I hear you saying.
You want to be professional. He waited until the other guest was done.
Mm-hmm. Call back.
And then call back. But didn't call back on the super secret line. Call back on the regular number as Royce from Inglewood.
Well, what you see there is how much time us retired NFL football players actually have. And we're just looking for anything to do, or else we're stuck with the wife and kids for a long time during the day now.
And he's like you. He's got a lot of kids.
A lot of kids. Now, what we'll end on with that guy is this, and I want to say this on air. That guy, now, a lot of guys saw the peanut punch. A lot of guys saw a lot of big plays he made. This guy was the ultimate teammate and football player. Now, he hustled on every play. I mean, I remember watching him on punt return, running guys down, running
field goal block.
He didn't care. You talk about a guy who loved playing the game of football, who loved being at work every day, a guy who did it right every time he showed up to Hallis Hall to work, and that's Charles Tillman.
Olin, I appreciate you for being here tonight. Thanks a lot for coming out. I know it was only an hour, and Charles ate up 30 minutes of the hour for you, which is great.
Awesome.
You're not going to find better Bears radio than that anywhere around. Shout out to Olin Krutz, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me, man.
You can check him out on our post-game show on The Score after the game on Sunday. Thanks to the folks here. This place, Players Pub, I came here last Saturday, had an order of beer nuggets, and they were amazing. Came back here today, ate well. They brought the steak out for us. It was still sizzling on the skillet. It was fantastic, so I want to thank them. Score Promotions did a great job. We're going to give away some Bears tickets in a couple of minutes. Dave Miska, my man, came and engineered the show. I appreciate him for that. Thanks to Herb Lawrence, who's back at the ranch by himself, producing this train wreck. Thanks to the Northwestern. Go see them take on Illinois. Go get yourself some tickets at NUSports.com for sponsoring the show. And thank you for listening and supporting the show. It is much appreciated. A full-blown Bears-Eagles preview tomorrow on my show starting at 6 o'clock with great analysis like what you heard from Olin Krutz tonight, Charles Tillman, Anthony Heron. We got the whole thing wired and covered. Keep it on The Score all day long, because you know what Friday is. Friday before Bears playoff game on The Score is bananas, and it's going to stay bananas all day long. So thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks to Dave Leto and DePaul. We were supposed to check in with Dave, but he understands the gravity of the Bears and the Bears being in the playoffs. So we'll get with Dave Leto later on next week and talk about what's going on with the Blue Demons. So thanks to him and the DePaul Athletic Department for understanding what was going on. Have a great, wonderful night. I'll talk to you maniacs tomorrow at 6 o'clock here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.